listen to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting it, passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
GERD. I have GERD.
Do you? A little GERD?
I have got, my GERD is back.
I'm telling you, add more acid to your diet is what they're, it's one of the things they're saying. We talked about this on a previous episode. Yeah. Boring.
Well, but that's also like, if that's what your body needs at that moment.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but mine is not saying yes to that idea.
All right.
Here's the bitch of it. Like, well, I don't even know if it's a bitch. It's just the thing of it. Nicola, who was maybe, is maybe going to come on today. Handled. She's the naturopathic doctor I work with. And she's been like, the stuff I gave you to take for your GERD. It's, there's something about calling it GERD that just right. makes it extra.
Is it gastrointestinal reflux disorder?
It makes it extra old lady-ish to me.
Yeah. Have some GERD.
My GERD is acting.
I've been eating too much hard candy and I got GERD.
Oh, the caramels I got from the boys after the war. Yeah. So it makes me feel older and like be like, I have GERD. You know what I mean? Heartburn, though, also is terrible. Heartburn sounds like something that your dad had when you were 10.
Right. Well, that's because everything we're saying means that it's associating with our aging bodies.
I know. And it also means I am the age my dad was when I was 10.
Right.
Exactly. I literally am.
Now, I will say to that, though, that like I remember when my dad turned 40, which is in my rear view quite a bit at this point. Okay. But when my dad turned 40, I remember like getting him a jokey book that was like, you know, you're 40 when you can't see your shoes to tie your feet or whatever. That's the opposite. Flip that. But like, it was a whole bunch of, you know, you're 40 when like 40 was this epically old thing where things had broken and fallen apart. And I'm like, I just blazed right past that. And I'm 50 and I still don't feel 40. Like, I don't feel the age that 40 was supposed to represent, and I'm over 50.
No, 7,000%. Me either. Me too. I'm right there with you. Like, I say 44, and I'm just like, and that's just a weird anomaly.
Right.
I don't think I'm, you know, but then I meet the kids today. They're so young, and they look at you with their short shorts riding up their buttholes, and they look at me like, oh, there's an adult here now. And I go, I'm not. I swear I'm not, except I kind of am.
Yeah.
I super am. Like, I don't actually want to be. Also, can we just talk about, can you imagine being a young person now? Like the way young persons are now?
I went to a graduation this weekend for my nephew.
Hmm.
This is the segue into this thought. You just said exactly what I was thinking, which is what often happens on our show. And I was so struck.
I was done struck.
I struck myself. I was quite stricken. Nope, never mind. I noted that. So there was, we had a little like brunch thing, and a number of his friends and their families came. It was up at my brother and sister-in-law's house, where my nephew and niece live, which all makes logical sense. That's how family structures often are. Are you exhausted yet, Katie? Do you just want to punch me through the screen?
I need a nap already. Lay down and take a Valium. Okay.
All right. I went to a graduation. It was for my nephew, and there were a bunch of kids there at the party. And I was struck by the unique, specific, like well-formed identity that each of these kids had. Granted, it's like an art school, sort of, it's not an art school, but it's like an alternative, some kind of cool hip high school where the kids are like the equivalent of like art school kids, where they're all like, you know, they have like their look. And like this one young woman was like, so she would put together this outfit that was like, oh my God, you came up with that outfit and it's brilliant. And it's just clothes put together and your hair. And then like this other guy was wearing this hat that I would never wear, but he was rocking this hat. And it didn't seem like self-consciously like, huh, I'm wearing a hat. Like I would have imagined each of these kids being, I don't know if this is making any sense. Like they all had an identity that felt like
true.
What awkward, but also sort of what awkward theater kids or whatever, or my, when I was a weirdo kid, what I would have been trying to create, but failing to accomplish.
Okay. I know what you mean so hard that I have 1,000 things to say about it.
Go. One.
I think there are two camps. Okay. And this goes back to an earlier episode and something I've been reading this very week after my QHHT session in this very book that I'm holding up for no one who can see anything right
now. And what is the book called?
It's called The Three Waves of Volunteers and the New Earth by Dolores Cannon. So, okay. One, I think there's a couple different kinds of kids right now. One is the new ones that we talked about in that episode a bunch of times ago when Des asked the question that I keep coming back to being like my favorite question ever, which is if there was a certain amount of humans on the earth.
Oh, right.
Right. And now there's more humans. Where are they coming from? If we're all just reincarnating, shouldn't it be the same amount of humans? And then one of the things they gave us in that channeling was some are new and some are not from here. They beamed down to like contribute and show us what's possible.
Right.
And so then I said that, right? That came out of my face holes. I didn't know that. I've never thought that thought before. I can't take credit for it. It just came through. And then I go and have this QHHT session and she's like, everything I had in the session, which I'll talk about the modality in a second, because it was fascinating. I came out of the trance. By the way, it's a 6-hour session.
No big.
It's just a teeny commitment. I came out of it and she was like, I always give every client who comes in here, because by the way, with QHHT, you only go one time ever. You go to one session with her one time ever, and then you're not allowed to come back.
Wow.
I know.
And what you're hell of a business model.
Such a business model. But I love it because you charge a lot and then you just get new people and you never have to deal with people's shit over and over. You just bring them in and move.
Says the healer.
Exactly. So then you get this recording of it and you're supposed to listen to the recording over and over again to get the energies that are transmitted in the session. Okay. I come out of this trance state in the session and she goes, I always give every client a book. I ask them to ask from their higher self, which book is for them. Look at this shelf and choose. But I have one I would strongly recommend you take because I believe that you're one of these people. And so it's a big ass book, as you can see. And I took it and just reading the introduction, I was like blown away because Dolores Cannon in 2010, whenever this was written, and for many years before that, who developed the modality QHHT, talked about these three waves of volunteers and the new earth. And that she talked about the new ones. She talked about it exactly the way I said it in that session when Desmond asked that question. She said, there are many new ones being brought down and they're here to model for those of us who are actually on the karmic wheel, clearing actual karma, coming back and failing and coming back and growing a little and coming back and trying to learn from our karma. The ones that have been beamed in, according to her, like from other dimensions, other planets, other places, they don't have karma. They've never had a human life before, is the idea. And get this shit. So disturbing to the system of a being that has never had karma would human life be that as these beings are entering, they have a conversation with the librarian, which I believe is the Akashic Records keepers. They have a conversation with the librarian for like days and days and months about which lifetimes, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, to imprint into them so they believe they have karma and they believe they've been on Earth before. Because if they were to show up as the pure souls of light that they are, with no memory whatsoever from past lives, of like no ingrained sense of what it is to be alive on Earth, they would just fully melt down and explode.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine the equivalent of like if someone who was like raised by wolves on a mountaintop was suddenly thrust into New York City.
Exactly. So, okay, so I'm reading this fucking book and I'm going, she's saying everything that they showed me that day and saying words that the energies I was in that day were impossible to put into words for me. I was seeing all kinds of shit. And then we talked about the sheets. And then you guys had that movie reference that you shared. That's all in here in the fucking introduction, including where she goes, everyone who's ever written a sci-fi movie is just tapped into what's going on in the galaxy. And the Galactic Federation from Star Trek, that's real. And many of you reading this book, you're in the Galactic Federation and you're council members on councils of light that make decisions about Earth. I mean, shit that I have seen in my records and said out loud to clients and taught in my classes. This lady fucking has a book that's my life. It is blowing my mind. And my current question for myself that I still am unresolved on is, am I one of the three waves of volunteers? That's a yes. But do I have actual karma? Like, am I someone who's gathered some karma and been on the karmic wheel? And I still think yes. I think I...
Rather than just believing that you have karma as opposed to actually having karma.
Rather than just having been imprinted with some of it to believe that I do. I think it's a... given... Jesus, God, all the clearings and all the karma and all how much better I felt every time I do a karma clearing.
Right.
Not these days so much, but in the past, wowza. Then again, maybe that's just how the imprinting works and I'm meant to believe that and whatever the fuck.
Right. And at some point, there isn't a difference. If it's been imprinted on you, you're operating from within that karmic effect. I don't know how that shit works. But.
Except that you could clear it with what I do. We clear karma all the time.
Right. So are you just clearing the belief of the karma or the karma itself?
Or am I clearing the imprint of a memory of karma or actual karma?
Which kind of goes along with how I deal with all of the wackadoo sci-fi madness that we talk about on this show.
Yeah.
This is going to sound dismissive, and I want to be clear that this is just how I end up framing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In order to make it process through this brain.
Okay.
But I often think, like, whether it's, for example, like if you're channeling knowledge, like whether it's just Katie is a fucking brilliant, her brain works so well and she needs these metaphors to channel it. And I know that's not how it is.
Yeah.
But that is sometimes how I'll take, like, I'll just be like, regardless, what you're saying is
good.
Is good and adding value to the world. So I don't care where it's coming from, except that I do, because my brain needs to make it work somehow. So like sometimes I'll take like one step towards a metaphorical version.
Yeah.
And then later on, it'll become more literal. But like,
right.
Point being, the effect is the same ultimate in a lot of ways. Like for you, like whether you believe you have karma and are clearing that believed karma or whether you have actual karma, your vessel is operating kind of the same.
Maybe I don't know, but what I would say is that, like, my personal experience of what carrying karma feels like, it's so different when you're not carrying it anymore. It's so radically different how you feel inside that I've had that radical difference feeling so many different times that, like, I feel like if it were an imprint, A, it would be easier to clear and less painful, and B, it wouldn't be so different after, because it's just an imprint. It's just like an impression, as opposed to like the weight of, if you think about the idea of what karma theoretically might be or is in theory, let's say you murder a bunch of children in 17 different past lives and you're carrying the weight of that with you. I mean, imagine the weight of killing one child and then imagine you're like a genocidal maniac, which I think I've been a few times. Like I've seen it, you know, I've also been a Sufi master and a light person and I've been all of the things. And I actually believe many of us have been, a lot of people have been way more things than they want to know or can perceive. Anyway, I'll give you a real specific example. There was this one lifetime where I was buried underneath a bunch of dead bodies in the Holocaust. But I was not dead. And then I died under the fucking bodies. And it was disgusting. And then I was the guy who killed me or who killed someone that was then buried under.
Well, that goes to the nonlinear nature of it and the layered time layers.
Yes. Yes.
So if you can be both of those, that explains right there how we can have multiple, more bodies than souls, in a sense.
It totally does. Now, I don't actually have clarity on whether I was the guy who killed this me or I was the guy who killed a lady like me who then was buried under bodies, because I'm sure there wasn't just one of those. Point being, I have seen it from both perspectives and I've carried the weight and the pain and the grief of both of those. And then I've had both of them lifted out of my system. And A, they feel different. The being the lady and being the murderer of the lady, they feel different. They're both pretty terrible, I'll tell you. And then they both feel really different when they're removed. So anyway, who knows? I mean, I don't know yet. I don't have an answer to that, but I've been really enjoying the sort of magic of getting to download some of this shit here with what we do and then getting to read a fucking lady who lived in Oklahoma and started a whole modality and wrote a book and she's saying words that come through my face.
Yeah, that is fascinating. So
fun and fascinating. But help me out, because we got on this topic to
kids today.
Okay, thank you. Because what I was going to say is that one of the things she talks about is she describes the qualities that the new ones, quote, quote, have and carry and bring to the planet. And I see it in so many of the millennials and younger, exactly what she's describing. And some of them, it's that thing you said where they have this weird, fully formed sense of self that doesn't feel put on.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like they're trying on a personality. They're actually whole beings from spirit who are like, oh yeah, I'm the guy who wears this hat. And of course I'd wear this hat because it looks good on me. Why would I wear it if it didn't?
Yeah.
They're already formed because they came from straight from light. They didn't go through all the who am I and what is it? And am I a nerd? Am I an outcast? None of that is relevant. They're just like, ping, here I am.
I mean, that is a comforting framework to like look at, like just anytime, and not just now, but like all our lives, coming across a young person who like a person who's, you know, 13 to 16 and just all the way there in some way, like, you know, what's her name? The young woman from Sweden who is doing all
Greta
Thunberg.
Gerwig. No.
No, that's a filmmaker from Sacramento. Greta Thunberg, I think.
That's really not it.
It is.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Thunberg? Yeah.
I thought
it could be like a letter off, but there's a thun and like something.
Because it sounds so much like Thunderbird. That I was like, you're being silly. But
Thunberg, I think, whatever. That young woman who's also like neurodivergent and using, but that's like part of her, what we might call superpower, is just like she's seeing things in a way that we typicals don't quite, we never did.
Yeah.
And just young people, even like as a teacher earlier in life, I would have every once in a while come across a student who was like, who could look directly across at me and talk to me as an equal.
That's right.
And they were 14 and I just wanted to hang out with that person and just be like, yeah, let's talk about theater. Let's talk about art. And they just were coming from a different place. And it's so satisfying.
It is so satisfying. And I so know what you mean. And I have what I call my best 9-year-old friend.
Yes.
And I miss her so much. I'm glad we're talking about this because it makes me be like, I'm gonna check in on me. I taught acting at some fucking elementary school or junior high
in
Florida. And I met Nina Lemmy and she was 9. And she and I were, she was my colleague. We were colleagues in class. It happened to be that I was called her teacher, but I would like consult her on design choices.
Uh-huh.
I'd be like, I'm thinking of casting what's his name for da da da, but she'd be like, well, vocally he's not. And I'd be like, why are you 9? How are you doing this? Yeah. I love those. Yeah. Neurodivergent. You're right about her last name, by the way. I looked it up.
Yes. I like to be right occasionally. I'm just going to name cool kids in the public sphere that I am just drawn to. There's these three sisters who are dancers and they are in, I think I want to say, what's the place that has, oh my God, cool country, not Sweden, not Norway,
the Netherlands.
Yes. Dutch. Is that Holland. The Netherlands? Holland. Yeah. I think that's where they live. And they're these three sisters who are dancers. And their names are Nora, Yara, and Rosa. and they break your brain. I mean, their technical skill is good, but the spirit with which they do their technical skill is just like soul affirming. And you're just watching them. There's something else there. That's not just like, we're good dancers. There's communication of something really galactic deep coming through. They're like just basically hip hop dancers. And they're just these three sisters who just rock it. Yeah.
We need to post this in the show notes.
We will. Absolutely. Nora Yara Rosa. I follow them on Instagram. I don't follow that many people on Instagram. So
I can't wait to follow them.
Oh my God. They will make your soul sing.
Okay. I watched already so many of these, like Jojo, what's her last name? Oh, damn it. It's not going to come to me, but there are these choreography videos on YouTube that you can just rabbit hole down all day forever.
Oh yeah.
Jade Chenoweth is one of the dancers, and this girl, another one, Casey something. I will rabbit hole those dancers. Hours will go by and I'll be like, yeah, wow, I just YouTube videoed these dance, because like you say, the dancing is so fucking beyond. Which brings me to when you said you follow them on Instagram, you don't follow a lot of things on Instagram. I just wanted to, oh my God. Okay. I have a new friend in the Durango area who is so talented. She's a visual artist. She does like wedding invitations and logo design and website design and any kind of design that's visual, right? But she's also a super talented musician and photographer, and her husband, he works as a photographer. So they often are on the same like wedding or whatever. He'll do the pictures and she does the invitations, or they get booked separately, but they'll end up on the same job, which is adorable. But recently I was saying like, oh, you know, one of my writing classes is starting soon. Do you have any friends that are writers? And she's like, oh, just send me an Insta about it. By the way, she's like 32 or something.
Yeah.
Just send me an Insta about it and I'll share it to all my people. And I was like, oh God, how do you send an Instagram? I don't know how to send an Instagram post.
I barely do. I can kind of get away with it occasionally if I do a direct message. I have no idea how to repost something.
Exactly. So I think what I did was I tagged her in it. I don't even know if
you,
I know how
to. You do took that. your camera, not your phone, but your old Instamatic camera, and you pointed it at the screen. Yeah. And you took a photo of that,
yeah,
and then you ran your phone camera over it.
I did some kind of old school set.
Live chatted it.
Old lady bullshit. And she managed to make a post out of it because she's amazing and posted it. Then because she did that for me, because she's so generous, I looked at her Instagram and I realized it's amazing. Like I don't know how, when I see people's Instagrams that are like, want to engage with this, I want to watch this, I'm so pulled in. I can't understand what they're doing that's different from, in my mind, I go, Instagram is picture with words to either say, here's what I'm up to, or market a thing. That's all I have on Instagram.
Yeah.
But magic is possible on Instagram. And these young people, they know how to do the magic. Then I was chatting with her. We went to have drinks the other day. And I go, so how did you get your like design business off the ground? How'd that happen? She's like, I mean, I'm not sure. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, by the way, she's stunningly gorgeous. And I have a story about that. She goes, I don't know. I just kind of started posting about it. And then just people hired me. And I was like, do you understand that like the people I know are hiring professionals to teach them how to just post things so people just hire them?
Yeah.
This bitch is so gorgeous and so talented and so organically good at Instagram that people just from all over the world see her post a picture of herself with like putting my short shorts on and going skating with the girls. It's just like her in shorts skating. And then she has three wedding jobs.
I mean, I at least prefer that it's like that her influencer status is actually connected to doing something. You know what I mean? Because so much of that culture makes me want to punch myself in the eye when I'm like, well, I put on my short shorts and now I have 3 million followers.
but
so that I can just put on my short shorts. But she's doing something more than that.
She has like a business, but like somehow organically, she just intuitively, like, to be fair, she's a designer. And so she does pictures well. So she knows how to do that. You know what I mean? But I'll look at her Instagram and just be like, can't stop looking, young, pretty people. What is she selling? I want to know.
I will buy it.
Transfixed. And I'm like, I should have a wedding just to hire her to be the wedding lady. This is how pretty she is and how hot in a sort of organic hot lady way. I feel like I'm aware now all of a sudden that I've brought a lot of hot ladies on our podcast. Like, haven't we had a few conversations where afterwards you've been like, damn.
I was like, you spoke truth. Well, because you would tell me ahead of time and then I'd be like, yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Amy, Maggie. Now when we have Annie on, you'll be like, G-g-g-g.
What is it in the water out there in Colorado?
So, okay. I was walking down the street with Annie the other day. That's her name. I don't know if I should say it. We're praising her. Why would I not say it? She's going to get more jobs just from us casually mentioning her name on this podcast.
There's only like two Annies on Instagram. So
that'll be easy. So we're walking down the street to go to a restaurant. She lives like super in town and just like near all the restaurants. She's like cute in her skin.
I just want you to know that you're really making her out to be like super basic. And she sounds like she's the opposite of that.
She's not at all basic. She's amazing. And I'm saying that voice because she has such a lighthearted, not trying, not aggressive Jew lady like myself way of being that everything that comes out of her just sounds like easy and bouncy. So she's not basic or dumb. She's just easy and bouncy and intelligent and talented.
Right.
Can you imagine if you were easy, bouncy, intelligent, and talented?
You can only have three out of those four.
You and I are intelligent and talented.
Right. Not easy or bouncy.
No. And we have a bounciness, but not the kind that's like effervescent and just like people want to be around it all the time.
Right. I mean, she might go home and unzip her lizard suit and just collapse into a puddle of goo and be like, God, that was exhausting keeping up that front.
I wonder. Lizard goo. So we're walking down the street and this like young, hot, like man of color stops us. It stops us in our tracks on the sidewalk. Excuse me. And he puts his hands up and he's got this young, hot white lady with him. So I'm like, cool. They're an interracial couple was like sort of the first impression I had. And then he goes, I don't usually stop people in the street. And he's looking me in the eyes. He goes, I don't usually stop people in the street to talk about how cute their dog is. Cause I have a dog, my dog with me, and she's very cute. He goes, nor do I stop people in the street to tell them how beautiful their friend is.
You're like, let's go ahead and complete this trifecta. It'd be nice.
And I go, uh-huh. And he goes, but girl, and then he diverts his eyes to her. You are the most beautiful woman I have ever seen in the street. If you're dating someone, he's the luckiest man alive. I am a little drunk right now. So I'm sorry that I'm being so direct. At which point I turn to the lady he's with and go, I really hope you're not his girlfriend. Are you his girlfriend? Because we have to have a talk if this is your boyfriend. She goes, no, that's my fucking brother. And I go, thank God. Okay, cool. Carry on. So he continues to praise Annie, just like he like didn't know how to stop talking because he was so overwhelmed by her charming good looks. And yes, I was the chubby friend next to her, just being like, cool, this is fun.
At least I have a cute dog.
I think, you know what the gift is of getting, back to getting older and being in your 40s. It's funny. I can honestly tell you, like, I didn't get triggered at all.
Nice.
Like Annie's like, she's just a different animal. She's over there in animals of that kind land. And I'm over here doing what I do. And we like, and I loved her. I wasn't jealous of her. I wasn't mad. I wasn't like, why aren't you talking to me? Cause I know why he's not talking to me.
And
I'm
how,
not confused.
How was she after that? How did she act after it was all done?
adorable and sweet and just like, oh my God, whatever. So weird. Anyway, change the subject, just get it off of her. Right. So then, cause I'm me, we have our drinks. We have a great time. We walk back to her house and her dude is there. And I go, I have to tell you a story, bro, of what happened to us walking down the street, going to get drinks with your lady here. And he goes, don't tell me. Somebody stopped her and said, she's the most beautiful person they've ever seen. And I go, what? Yes. And he goes, it happens all the time, all the time.
So, and I was like, so you're bringing her on the show, right? Because you got to keep your track record up at this point.
You're right. It's only pretty ladies that come.
That's it.
So I was a very like, I just love that. That, and then when he said that, her reaction was like, anyway, can you mow the lawn? Like, she's just like, we're not going to spend time on me being, because what else are you going to do? What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Be like, I know, it's so true. Or be like, right. No, I'm not. She didn't deny it or confirm it. She just was like, this is weird, and other topics.
Right. Well, at a certain point, you're like, that's not where my actual value lies. So if we talk about it too long, I'm going to start being like, cool. Yep. Did you see my art? Or 100%. Yeah, 100%. I can imagine. I know what that's like. So I understand. I'm always just like, yeah, but I am also a deep, loving soul and a genius comedian.
People will look past your pecs and
my stunningly chiseled looks.
Your jawline.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
It's sitting behind a beard right now, but it's in there.
Yep.
I think people
can. That's why I wear the beard. I don't want to just break the world by just walking out and just slicing through it with my jawline.
Yeah. People can feel you coming a few miles down the road. They're like, yeah, jawline approaching. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do.
I had to soften it by putting a beard on it. It's like putting bumpers on a sharp coffee table. Like, you can hurt people.
It's like putting one of those car sheets over a Porsche.
Yep. Or at least like a bumper bra, just so like,
That's what it is.
Yeah. This beard is the bumper bra of the Porsche that is my face.
Oh, I love that. Side note, my cat is in my lap right now, licking me with a ferocity that I'm going to need to talk about first. Licking hardcore.
Where?
On my hand.
Okay. I don't know. I can't see it. It's below the camera.
And then laying upside down in the cutest poses that are like, this is my belly and I'm licking you. It's pretty cute. And here's the reason. Let's talk about Mercury retrogrades because we're on a...
Oh, yeah. I got a pin in that. Keep going, please.
Okay, cool. We're in one, I believe. Or we're in the week before one.
I think we're in one.
Okay. It would match with what's been going on in my reality. But so I went to Durango a bunch of nights ago to like see the boyfriend and hang out. And then like... I could not return to my house for all these weird reasons, including three tire drama incidents.
In one 2-day period.
It's 20 minutes down the road. It's not that far, but I could not get back here. The first thing was I had to get a back tire replaced because... Now I can't, they're all blurring together. Some big, obvious, dramatic problem with the tire and it had to be replaced. Get the tire replaced. The guy says, you know, you should probably replace all three of the other tires because it's kind of time, we could tell. And I'm like, you know, I'm good. This was a big chunk of money. I'm going to wait until it's like, because you could tell with the tread, when the tread gets really low. I was like, I know the tread now and I'll wait. Next day. No, that's a lie. Later the same day, I pull into an event with some lady friends and a lady is screaming at me with an angry face. You know, when you see somebody screaming like out your car window, but you can't hear them yet. So they could be shouting, you're the devil. Go home, Jew. It looks like she's shouting like, ah! Like her face is mad at me and she's got her arms going. And I'm like, what happened? I've upset this woman. And I open the door and she's saying, your tire is flat. Your tire is flat. And I'm like, okay, first of all, let's take it down a notch. It's just a tire. I'm going to be okay. Like, tone it down. Then I get outside and I go behind the car and the tire is not flat. It's not a flat tire, but it is low. And I'm like, okay, it's kind of low. And so I say to her, you mean this one that's kind of low? She goes, yeah, that is flat. And I go, look at it. It's low. It's not flat. it's not a flat tire. She's like, whatever, and leaves cranky. Okay, all right. So I go to this concert and we do this thing with
that is the friend. Weirdest version of a Karen you've ever seen. She's like, I want to help you, but I'm angry about it.
I mean, so weird. So, right?
Go on.
Yeah, there's really bad. We go to this event. We come back to the car. Now the tire is flat. Like it was flat now.
Mm-hmm.
So Karen had a point. She just was ahead of her time.
Or she followed you with a stiletto.
Oh, maybe that.
Or just saying.
Tea. Yeah. So I drive the tire, the car on the pretty damn flat tire to the nearest gas station. And I pump it up because a few days before I had just gotten new lids for the little tire, gassy, leaky things that need lids on them. You know mm-hmm. what I'm talking about? What's that called?
I could tell you, but that was fun to listen. I actually don't know. It's like a nozzle cap or something like that.
Yeah, like those.
Stem cap.
Sure. I was missing two of those. Had blah, blah, blah. Get to the gas station, fill the thing. Okay, that tire's working fine now. And I'm thinking, wow, two tire things in one day. What a weird thing. The next day, I go to the dog park with a new lady friend. We come out. I'm not kidding. I gently end up tapping my front tire on a curb. Like, you know, when you kind of ease yeah. into a parking spot and you kind of tap it and then you back off a little. That's how hard I hit it, which was not hard at all. The tire exploded.
Was it the tire that was previously wounded?
It was not.
What?
It was a third tire.
What?
And I get out. This was last night, by the way. I get out and on the side, like the wall, on one of the walls of the tires, the side of it, not the part that hits the ground. There's a chunk of rubber just pulled off, like it exploded. I barely tapped it. Like I'm talking about barely touched it.
Yeah.
And the tire exploded. So then we have to call AAA because I can't. And now it's like 7 o'clock at night and I'm in Durango. Call AAA. Halfway, they say, okay, we'll be there in an hour and a half. And I'm like, oh God. My friend who I'm hiking with goes away. She comes back with her husband. They try to jack it up and put the tire, new tire on the, what do you call it? The spare. But we can't because it turns out you need this special tire key to get tires off of my car because it's a fucking luxury car because I'm a douchebag. And you have to have a special wrench to get the tire off because it has a security measure so that people don't steal these tires. The tire place that had replaced the first tire had forgotten to give me the tire key back. And they had left me a voice message saying, we can't, sorry, come by tomorrow. We have your tire key, our bad. And in my mind, I thought, well, that's not going to be relevant in my reality for days and days and days. Cut to the next day, I need that tire key. So I have to call AAA back and go, by the way, I don't have the right tire key. So your guy is either going to have a special tire key or I think I need to be towed. And she goes, we don't have that tire key. So you have to be towed. So I have to start this order over. So she puts in a new order and they tell me an hour and a half from then, which is an hour in, we're going to have somebody there with a tow truck. So now my day is shot. Luckily, there's a burger place right by and I call Alfred and I go, you want to, I'm fucked. I'm stranded. Can you come here? You want to have a burger? I'm going to have to come to your house again because now we're going to put this, the car is going to be towed. I can't go home because we're towing it to the place where the tires are, which is right in town in Durango. Tow truck shows up really late, 9:50 at night or something. We get burgers. We eat them. The dog is with me looking at me like, this is the worst night ever. What are you doing to me? We get back. We tow the car to the place that has the tires. We leave it overnight. And in the morning, they called me. They were like, we recognize your car. We know you now. Anyway. They replaced all three tires. They gave me a really sweet deal because they felt so bad that they had kept my tire key.
Yeah.
Really
they sweet. Forced your car to be towed.
Yeah. So they gave me a little deal, which was nice. All of this was a very long-winded way to start talking about Mercury retrogrades, but I had a reason based on what we were talking about before.
And magical children?
I'm talking about children. Oh, no. I lost the thread. We were talking, what were we talking about right before I launched?
I don't know, but it felt like you were saying like new subject.
Oh, the cat.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
The point being all this tire drama kept meaning I couldn't come home. There were always reasons where it was like, well, I got to leave the car again. Or, well, there was a lot of shit going on where I just couldn't drive back to Mancos. So I kept spending the night over in Durango. But the night that I left, the cat was out. And she's usually, I don't ever leave with her out. I let her out a lot, but if I'm leaving, she comes in. You know why? Because there's vicious wild animals right outside my freaking doors all the time. This is for real Colorado, right? Including right now, we are having a, not a joke, swarms upon swarms of crickets.
Oh, not cicadas, but crickets?
I'm pretty sure not cicadas.
Well, is it more like a tone or is it the chirp, chirp, chirp of crickets?
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Because I know that the cicadas are a thing that are happening now because they're every 7 years and they're
a thing. They're going
like,
it goes a long time.
Really long time, but you're not getting there.
No, and they're all on my porch. And when you step off the porch on the stones,
crunch,
they go flying in swarms.
Oh my God.
That's and then they hit your body. And you're like, I'm covered in them. What do I do?
I don't like this.
Oh, it's bad. I'm like not into it. Point is, the cat was out like 3 nights ago and my neighbors are very generous and they come over and feed her and water, give her water. She has an automatic feeder, but they give her water and they pay attention to her when I'm not here. So they come over and they text me in the middle of all this tire drama. Sorry to break this to you, but your cat is not inside your house and she's not outside your house and she's not coming when we call and she hasn't for 2 days. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe my cat's dead. Then, so I go, okay, tomorrow morning, I got to go home because I got to handle this. And that's when the third tire drama happened and I couldn't go home. So finally I get home today, out of the woods comes, as I'm pulling into my house and all the crickets are going like flying up like a swarm of like bees. My cat comes bounding out of the forest like, you're here. Where the fuck have you been? Bounding so fast. I've never seen her move that fast. She ran inside the front door, went right to her food dish, and then promptly passed out like a crazy, crazy, sad, exhausted kitty cat on my bed. So now, while you and I are doing the podcast, she's on my lap, licking me with a ferocity I have never seen before. And I think it's because she probably came within an inch of her life outside in nature for 3 days while I was being Mercury retrograded to death with my fucking tires in Durango.
Oh my God. That is...
Yeah.
Well, we were working on a basically a radio drama podcast for this company, word for word, this really cool story that we had done a broadcast version of before. And then they were recording it and doing a really nice job. So this time we were going to be doing like a really professional recording of it. And they're using this sort of audio interface where you can record all the tracks through the Zoom, but not on Zoom, blah, blah, blah. So we were both on Zoom for our conversation for us. And then also having to sign into this other website to get the audio, to record the audio well. And just everything was going just not well. Like it was going okay. The fact is we actually got through it, which is phenomenal. And like at one point, they had to keep dropping a new link to the next recording session for this particular website and how you record. And they were just dropping into the Zoom chat and we'd all click on it and sign on. But one of the people was like, I don't see it. I can't get it. And he's an older gentleman. So we're all like, oh, this guy. And every single person literally was like trying to chime in and like, it's okay. The chat, you go to the bottom, you little chat function, okay. Do you see where it says arrow up microphone, all that shit. And he's like, yep. Yep. And we're going through and everybody has an opinion. And I think I'm the one with the right opinion, you know, because I do Zoom professionally, you know. No, we all think we're the fucking professional. And this poor guy, literally after we talk our way through this, all this, he's like, no, there literally is no chat icon. And he describes it. He should have taken a picture and sent it to us because then we would have known. But he couldn't have because he couldn't use the chat function. His particular version of Zoom decided not to have a chat icon. Like that's literally impossible. And yet
it happened.
It seemed to be the truth. It seemed to be like, we literally had him like, okay, talk us across the bottom thing. Ba-ba-ba. Does it say more? Nope. Does it say something else? Nope. And it's just like, and then finally Rami, who was directing this piece, Rami just said, I just want to say for the record, I did not decide to schedule this recording during Mercury retrograde, because that was the end of an epic amount of other kerfuffles, you know, where the lead actor's internet just decided to work about 50% capacity, but the guy who we needed the most. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nightmare.
It was, It's all good.
I've been having shit like that. Here's another one that I like that, and this happens regularly, like not all the time, but on a regular basis, this will happen. Someone will book a healing session through my website. It will, my website automatically puts it into my Google calendar, which goes right to my phone and my computer. I will see it. I will go, okay, Jenny, Thursday, 3:30. And then it's just in there. So anytime I'm looking at what am I doing Thursday? I go, okay, well, I'm with Jenny at 3:30. Then what it'll do is, like, if I, let's say it's a Monday and somebody books for a Thursday that week, and I look on Monday and I go, oh, Jenny, Thursday, 3:30, got it. If I look on Tuesday, the next day, there's nothing on Thursday. And then I look Wednesday and there's nothing on Thursday. So now I think, oh, I don't have anything Thursday. Or I'll think like, oh, that was for next Thursday. And then I'll look at my calendar and I'll see Jenny, 3:30 on the next Thursday. Then what happens is I'm at the fucking tire store and Jenny is emailing me going, don't we have a session right now? And I'm going, what? And she's like, yeah, look, here's the email that exchange where we set the time. And I'm like, you're right. We do have a session now. I look in my calendar and it says it for the following Thursday, meaning it pushes things a week back, like a week forward in time. Uh-huh. But I will have seen it make the initial correct.
Right. So, you know, it was there at one point and then it's some, the gremlins just go beep.
That, or we'll have the person and I will verbally agree to a time and a day. I'll write it in myself, not even the program writing it in. I'll write it in and go, cool, Friday. And then I forget about it because I'm doing life and I just don't think about it. And then come Friday, I'm getting a text. Are you coming to our session? And I go, what do you mean? And I look at my calendar. It's not fucking in there. And I wrote it while we were talking.
Well, that happened to us today. I am sure that we had it scheduled for us to do a session today. And then us to record today.
Right.
And then I didn't. It's literally not in my calendar anywhere to be seen. And I'm always getting mad at you for that sort of thing. And now I'm like, shut up, Cass.
Well, see, for me, I just can't ever get mad at people for that shit.
No, because you know, it's just what happened.
Well, but I more than the, and I've heard, I have like, there's astrological reasons that some people believe about what this is in my, that it's like, it's part of my chart.
Like you're in permanent Mercury retrograde?
No, but there's, I'll explain it. But the point being, it happens so regularly with me that I do some weird thing about time that I just am very forgiving with people about time. I'll ask like, hey, didn't we say blah, blah, blah? But then I'm just like, cool, don't worry, let's reschedule. Because if I'm not forgiving with people about it, like I can't then expect people to be forgiving of me. And I really need people to be forgiving of me on this. Because I'm telling you, like, I work very hard every day, very diligently to never make mistakes like that. And I make them all the time still. And then here's the explanation-y thing that I got a while ago. I had an astrocartography session, which for people, and we have to come back to what a QHHT session is, because that shit.
You talked a little bit about it on last week's episode.
Oh, okay.
I did. Or on 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Or on the one that we just recorded, I think. Yeah.
Astro or QHH?
QHH.
Okay. In my astrocartography session, the woman is a professional astrologer, and astrocartography is looking at like where on the planet you do best according to your birth chart and your progress chart to be living on the planet.
We've talked about it a bit in the context of you moving to Mancus.
Okay. So we were having that session and she said, give me 1 second. I just have to pull one thing up. And she goes, oh, okay. See, you have Pisces moon. I go, yeah. She goes, and you're the last day of Aquarius, which means you're almost a double Pisces. I go, yeah. She goes, that's why you've got all that Neptunian energy in your chart. She goes, you're probably a really powerful channeler. You channel? I go, yeah, I channel. She goes, you're probably like a mystic, maybe a healer. I go, yeah, mystic, healer. Yeah. She goes, that's why, by the way, when you and I tried to schedule this, we had to have 16 conversations about when it was happening and where, because I was like, as soon as that started happening, she said, I started to think, oh, this bitch has a bunch of Neptune in her chart and in her progress chart too, because that's how it always goes. She says, whenever there's weird, what time and what's the email and how do I PayPal you? It's always a Neptune influenced person. And I was like, well, you were correct. I have so much Pisces and so much Neptune. And then
I should be more forgiving of you and have more compassion around that, because it is written in the stars and not necessarily, it is not your conscious, like, I don't care about this stuff. So
But I understand too, because it's thank you for being willing to even consider that.
Yeah.
Because I appreciate it, but also I can really understand it. I have a friend who, you know, those friends, the friends where you always have some kind of problem with them.
I want you to not finish a sentence because I just love that the phrase, you know, those friends, and then everybody could just like finish the sentence with their own version of it. And we would all recognize some version of the end of that sentence.
I like it. That's a good, I won't finish this story. Oh my God. Where'd that yawn come from? Actually, that's caffeine moving through my body. I have a friend who I'm not exactly, we don't talk regularly anymore because she's one of those people who, this is the end of, do you ever have a friend who you love, but also sort of hate them? Mm-hmm. Like you're like, you go back so far and you have so much history. You're like, oh, Jenny, but you also want to push Jenny off a cliff for like 8 different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Okay. She's one of those who she'll be a sister until we're all dead in the ground, rotting or fish food or whatever we're going to be, shot into space, shot into somebody's blood, arm, vein. That'd be a weird drug addiction.
Just human extract.
Into your veins. She and I did some creative projects a bunch of years ago, and this bitch could never be on fucking time. And I'm bad at time, and I was always on time. I was so mad at her for a couple of years because she just would never fucking show up on time. 15 minutes late, half an hour late. I'm sitting outside some theater ready to rehearse, like sweating in the sun because she has the key and we can't get in. And she's like, and then she'll text me like 15 minutes late, like, be there in a minute. And I'm like, where's the part where you go, I'm so sorry, I screwed up, I'm running behind, I'll be there in a minute, I have the key. Are you having to sit outside? No, just no consideration of what might be happening for me. Right.
And so
fucking hated it and resented the shit out of her. And we had then here's what happened. This is how I kind of got over it. We had a lot of talks about it. She's really good at nonviolent communication. I was learning to be good at nonviolent communication. I was trying so hard not to be mad at her. And I would say, like, when you do that, it makes me feel like you don't give a shit about what's happening for me. I'm sitting outside sweating and you didn't even ask. You just show up late and don't care. And she's like, she would say, like, you're totally right. I hear you. I do care. I'm really sorry you feel that way. I'm actually not thinking of you. It's just that I'm mismanaging my time. It has nothing to do with you. And I go, but then why can't you acknowledge it verbally and say, I mismanaged my time. I fucked up. I'll be there. I'm so sorry. Let me get you a tea after. Anything, just anything to acknowledge. I have made your life slower now because I am screwing this up, right? We probably had that same conversation 6 times over 2 years, maybe, where we had to sit down and look at each other in the face and be uncomfortable and call each other and talk and share eye contact. Feelings, crying. It never changed. It never changed even the littlest bit. And then finally one day I realized, okay, these are just the terms of your relationship with her.
Right. It's the price of admission.
Because sometimes you can talk with people about things and it can change. And other times you can't. It's just not going to change. And then you get to ask yourself, is it worth the price of admission? I have another friend like that who's like really, really aggro. And for a bunch of years, I was like, this is not, what am I doing? And then I realized, like, there's so much other good stuff about her. She can be aggro all she wants. I just have to never, ever personalize it.
It's a challenge. We talked about this, like when you were talking about your relationship to your parents and stuff in the episode entitled Milk from the Hardware Store. And that term has really popped in my life. I've been using it to help like counsel others in this context. A friend who's going through some stuff and is needing support from other friends. And the other friends aren't showing up how he wants them to, right? Which is valid. Like you can grieve that failure of friendship. But ultimately I was like, okay, but also, yeah, decide, is that acceptable to you as a friend? You know, at a certain point, you're not going to get that thing from that friend.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get milk from the hardware store.
Right.
And is that, you know, are you still willing to be friends with that person and just accept that that is part of the framework of your friendship? And also you can feel sad and angry. I'm not going to tell you don't be upset about it, but if you keep attaching that desired result of change and it's not going to come, then you're just suffering more because of that.
Right. That's like the saying, expectations are resentments waiting to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's finding that balance though within your friendships of being able to, I should be able to ask things of my friends. And, but the challenge to me is like finding that the cleanest version of the transaction is the wrong word, but like of the relationship that says, I can ask you anything and you can say no, but I need to know that I can ask it.
That's right.
Like that is an act of will for me to ask for help. And I need to work on not being disappointed when I don't get what I asked for, because what we do is we don't ask because we don't want to be disappointed often.
Or you be disappointed and process the disappointment elsewhere.
Right. But you don't hold that as like a condition of the friendship, or you don't, or if you do, then that's fine. You just say, oh, you're not going to show up in the way I need you to show up as a friend. So I guess we're not friends. Okay. Right.
Or like, I mean, that's the other benefit of being able to have honest conversations with people. Like with my other friend who's kind of aggro, we had a couple talks where over the years, I mean, I've been friends with her so long, where I was like, you know, when you make those jokes, it feels really bad in my body. It breaks my heart. She'd be like, huh? Okay. Nothing. She'd be like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? She just like, can't, there's right. No, like, I'd be like, what do I want you to do? Maybe don't make those jokes. She'd be like, what? No, that's who I am. What are you talking about? She like not open to it at all.
Yeah.
And so there were a couple of years where I was like, and we're not friends now.
Yeah.
And then I did a bunch of healing work unrelated to her about other shit. And I saw her somewhere. And then I realized, God damn, I love her. Her aggro has nothing to do with me. But I will say it was after a bunch of healing work that I had done on other shit that meant it added up to, I just wasn't as triggered by like other people's aggro. It doesn't have to do with me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I needed 2 years apart because I was like, I need this from you and you can't give it.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, I didn't need it anymore because I just didn't need it anymore after some growth. But like, we can't make ourselves wrong wherever we are on that spectrum.
No.
If you need the thing and they can't give the thing, you have to say to yourself, well, are there enough other good things about this relationship that like, I don't get to have that thing here, but I can get it somewhere else.
Right.
Or if there's not enough other things, you get to go.
Yeah. And the attachment to the outcome is the thing that you have agency over in that relationship. Like I have agency over how I respond to you as a friend. Like if you do something that upsets me, or you do something, let's not even say that upsets me. You do something, you say something, or you don't do something. And then my response to that, like I can't control what or how you do, but I can, in a sense, have some control over how I deal with that. I think I just lost my train of thought. Damn it. it drained out. I mean, it's the finding out what it's the fucking serenity prayer. It makes me crazy all the time because I think I'm having this really deep thought. And it always returns to the serenity prayer, which I think is one of the most powerful tools in our repertoire.
It's really good. I know. It's the, that's how I feel about milk at the hardware store. I'm just like, I'll be in a situation and be like, oh, they don't have milk here. Got it. Okay. So we'll just talk about.
Yeah. Exactly.
About hammers and nails and wood.
Or we just, oh shit, I don't want to be at the hardware store.
Yeah.
But I am and at the also, hardware store.
You can be like, later I might feel like going to the hardware store. Today I feel like I need ice cream. So I'm going to the grocery store.
Now I want ice cream. Mm-hmm. But yeah. But like, yeah, grant me the damn serenity to accept the things I can't change.
Courage to change the things I
can't. The courage and ability. That's the one you want to add to that.
Well, courage to change the things I can and willingness to know and ability to know the difference.
And wisdom to know the difference.
Wisdom to know the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
But then add to that in my head, like the ability to change the things I can, because the courage is one thing. And like, but then how do I actually affect that change? Those are the extra tools.
The willingness to take the action on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I find for myself, a lot of that willingness to take the action comes from having been through the pain of not taking the action.
Mm.
Like you and I had a conversation, I won't name names, recently where, I remember. But the gist of it was something like, could you just say to this friend of yours,
right,
this true thing and make a request about this boundary?
And I was like, no.
And you were like, no, because then that person is going to, I'm going to have to deal with their feelings around it. And I'm going to feel uncomfortable. And for me, and your response was like, no, I'm not going to do that because it brings my stuff up and I'm not going to do it. And right. My reaction is always like, oh, that's my stuff that's up. Therefore, I'm going to do it.
Right. And that's sometimes my reaction.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, that brings up that. So that's the thing I should think about or do.
Yeah.
Because
I think all the point I'm making is that in that particular case and in a number of cases, when we do avoidance, to me, if avoidance is really not, it doesn't work out in the end.
No, it's,
you know,
because it's short term. It's short term
relief.
Relief for a long-term problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Which and doesn't actually relieve it. It usually either just delays it or actually makes it worse or exacerbates
it. That's the thing, because the longer it gets avoided, the more narrative you're creating, even if it's like a subtle narrative in the background. Let me talk about myself. I had one of these recently where a friend, it's a long story that basically sums up to a friend sort of stopped talking to me and I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. And we have mutual friends and I had sort of realized like there were many months where I thought, oh, there's this logical reason why, because that friend is not talking to anyone right now. They were on kind of retreat and then they weren't anymore. And then I was hearing like from other people, well, blah, blah, blah said this to whoever. And I was like, wait, blah, blah, blah is not on retreat. They're like, no, they've been out of retreat since blah, blah, blah time. And I was like, oh. So then I was like, okay, they're not talking to me. Let's call this imaginary person Francois.
Okay.
Francois just like stopped talking because Francois, after their theoretical retreat ended and was still talking to other people, was not talking to me. So I felt really, really sad and rejected. And I also felt like, gosh, I must have done something shitty or uncomfortable making to make Francois not talk to me. But I was too uncomfortable. I was so convinced in my narrative that they really didn't like me and really didn't want to talk to me that I didn't just call and ask them or leave a voice memo as I'm wont to do and be like, hey, so I experienced this as having a friendship and then it just being gone. Did I do something to hurt your feelings? I'm wide open to hearing about it. I know how to do that really well at this point. And I wasn't doing it and I wasn't doing it and I wasn't doing it. Finally, I had dinner with a mutual friend. I told the mutual friend, like, really sad about Francois. We don't talk anymore. And they were like, what? You two, what? And I was like, well, I know. And then here's what happened. And here's what happened. And then the mutual friend said, you understand you have to just call them and leave a message or leave a voice memo, or you have to just ask what happened. This can't go unresolved. And I was like, you're right. I guess you're right. So I left a voice memo. And this is a great set of tools for people who may be struggling with how to deal with conflict and how to have uncomfortable conversations. I said in the voice memo, hey, I miss you. We haven't talked in a long time. And I want to describe for you my experience of what happened. And then I'd love to hear your perspective on what happened, because I think I know what happened, but I'm way open to being incorrect. And then I said, what I thought happened was we were friends and then you went on retreat. And then we weren't talking anymore. And then you came out of retreat and then we still weren't talking. And I messaged you and you didn't respond, which led me to believe you don't want to be friends. And maybe I did something that hurt your feelings. Would you be willing to tell me what I did that made it like impossible for you to be in communication with me? Or if it isn't that, would you be willing to share what it is? And thankfully, thank you, good God in heaven, they messaged back, oh my God, thank you for these messages. It's such a generous way to approach it. Thank you for talking to me that way and not being mad. There was some stuff at the time that I was really dealing with. And then there's been a lot of family stuff that I'm still dealing with. And then they said, sometimes your energy is intense. And I was like, I have noticed. And they were like, so I was so under the weather and in grief and meditating and subtle, hard things going on for myself that I just felt like I didn't have energy to hold space for you and to be in your world. And I was like, thank you for telling me. And then I said, when I could I run a couple things by you that in my mind, I wrote a narrative about why they said, absolutely. So I go, was it when I said this? And they go, no. And I go, was it, did it when I did this thing? And they go, what? No. All the things I had created in my head were not it at all. And then it turns out they have someone in their family with brain cancer, and they have someone, and yeah, and they have all kinds of personal transformation going on that was really intense for them, such that they just didn't have bandwidth for anyone outside their closed-in circle. And I also, then I was able to say, you know, I'm really great at hearing. I don't have bandwidth for anyone outside my closed-in circle right now because I'm so fried. I would never, I'm okay with that. I can hear that. Would you be willing to say that in the future instead of just not having a friendship? And they were like, 100%. Yes. Thank you for asking. Then they admitted to me, they were like, so much time went by that I felt like anything I would say to you would just be awkward because you'd want to know why we hadn't talked. And then I didn't know how to bring up why we didn't talk. And then I never wanted to say to you, sometimes you're intense because that makes people feel bad. And I was like, I am at this point in my life. If I didn't know I have a lot of energy and it's a lot for people, I would be dead on my feet. Like I'm so aware.
Yeah.
And I also said, I'd be willing to even like be my more chill version of myself when we're together. I can't do that all the time, but like I can do that sometimes. And they were like, I don't want you to change yourself. And I just was having a hard time and I'm so glad you called. And we bonded and everything's good now.
Got to check our stories. Our narratives are never right. I had a friend call me up, just randomly call me. I hadn't spoken to him in a year. And he left me the most heartbreaking voicemail. And I think I like checked it during break on a rehearsal or something. And I was like, what? And it was like, I had said something in past, sort of bad things were happening in the world. And I'd made sort of this kind of caustic response to something that he had said. And then I hadn't thought of it yet since, of course, because it had just been something I was going through. I was in a shit place. So was he. And the way I said whatever I said broke his heart in a way that lasted for a year. And he just finally worked up the courage to call me and leave me a message. Thank God he did. And just say, that really hurt. And, you know, you said this thing. I'd really scrape my brain to even be like, okay, I don't remember saying that, but I can imagine saying that in that context. I know I was in a shitty place and I was probably being bitter, thought I was being funny. I don't even know. But literally, all I had to do was tell him, I don't believe that. Like the words I said, I don't stand behind the things I said that day. Those were not true. I didn't actually think that. I literally can't remember what it was at the time, but I just remember it was like, oh yeah, I phrased something really flippantly that sort of was dismissive of some people's pain and experience.
Yeah.
Or that's how he heard it. And I was like, oh no, I meant this. Doesn't matter. Point is, it took great courage for this person to finally, but which also means it was haunting him for over a year, like your friend, missing from your life was kind of haunting you, it sounds like.
Totally.
And, you know, and all I had to do is tell him literally just go, oh no, that's not the story. Not you're wrong, just that is not your narrative is wrong, but you're not wrong. And also, I am so sorry for saying those words in that way because that was insensitive.
Yeah.
But yeah, just we got to check our narratives. We got to check in and be like, I've been thinking this the whole time.
It brings me back to what Amy was talking to us about in human design. And this is another thing I love about human design is like, something I realized out of the conversation with Francois was that I'm going to see if I can put words around this. It's like, I realized like generally speaking, Francois goes into really sensitive places where generally speaking, my energy field would be a lot to deal with in general.
Yeah.
And I've seen this with them repeatedly. So I know that like, and I know how I've been in their presence and I know that I don't feel bad about how I've been. Like, it's one thing when I, like the things I was checking with Francois, they were things I felt bad about. I genuinely thought I shouldn't have said that. I wish I'd never said that. I shouldn't have said that. But everything else it was like, oh, I'm just being me and I know who I am now. So like, it's okay. And so what I got out of our conversation when we finally met in person too, because we talked on the phone and then we met, was like, I see, we're not actually a great match right now.
Yeah.
They need a lot of space to be in that kind of energy that's very blown open and sensitive and not ready for jokes and joviality and intensity. They're not, that's not what they're at. And so that is not, she's there. That person is not wrong. And I'm not wrong. We're just kind of not, our auric fields don't contribute to each other big picture as regular hang out a lot friends right now. And that can change too. She could totally change, or I could totally change. Things change all the time. And then you need that one person who's that one way, you know? But anyway, just, I feel like it's a miracle in my life to be able to be like, at least I know I didn't, the things I thought were shitty, they didn't land shitty for her. So everything else is just, these fields don't serve each other right now. These fields don't organically mesh.
Well, there's also the thing about in a hard conversation, when someone is able to just, if someone can say something that in most contexts, people would be like hurt or offended, or like, that's a crushing blow. Yeah. But when we can find the place in our own egoic field to have someone say something to us that could be taken as like deeply insulting, or, and we can just hear it as, like you said, like, oh yeah, I'm too much. Whereas there are times in your life probably, and I know I've had things said to me in my life that if I repeated them to someone else, they'd be like, how did you survive that? That sounds like the hardest thing for someone to say to you. And I would just be like, oh, it was painful, but it was true.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. It's just like him says, you know, this person saying to you, you're a bit much, and I need someone who's not a bit much right now.
Yeah.
And for you to be able to not go like, how dare you? That's the meanest thing anyone's ever said to me, which is a pretty common response to that sort of thing. Yeah. And to be able to be zoomed out enough on your own experience to be able to go, that is the experience this person is having of me, of course.
Yeah. And to be honest, I think part of it is, this is actually really true. I think feeling good in my work life, like feeling like my bigness and my intensity works really well for the work I'm doing. And I'm getting a lot of accolades there, like not accolades, but like people saying, thank you, you helped me. And then having a, like dating someone who like accepts me and loves me as I am, I'm surprised to say how helpful all that is. Mm-hmm. Like there are places in the world, there were a lot of years where I was like, I'm going to do all the work I can do to be where, to get to the place where I'm good in and of myself, and I need nothing from the outside world to validate me in any way. And I did a lot of that, and I got pretty good at it. But then I realized, well, the next frontier is being in the world and like being okay with who, you know, being good at being you in the world and being, finding the places where there's healthy places to put what you are out to the world.
Right.
And it not being like you're on a mountaintop by yourself and you're okay. You know, that's anyway, those are two different things. And then, so having some external places where people are grateful for the way I am really does help with when other people are like, I can't be with how you are. You start to realize that's just the space that person is in right now. And that person isn't every person. And as long as, I mean, but that's not to say we don't each have work to do. Like I certainly have had, I mean, you get it. It's both.
We have to always be doing
like, do your work. Yeah. I mean, I had to really look at like the ways I'm a lot, are they harmful? Are they actually harmful? And I cleared up my side of the street, as they say, with the three things I thought were really like potentially pain inducing. The rest is just, it works or it doesn't.
Yeah.
Which also brings me back to that astrocartography thing, because something else she told me was, we had a really good talk about men that I date, where she was like, you have to start really, she's like, it's in your chart that you wind up with sensitive, more receptive men. You're always going to be the stronger, louder alpha-y one. And you've got to stop thinking you're wrong for that, that you should be less, more demure, or he should be more manly. And you have Cancer in Venus, you know, there's like things that mean, oh my God, I just poked myself in the eye. thinking of being too much. Oh my god!
Human just, Mercury retrograde.
Just, I was gesticulating so aggressively that I poked myself. In the anyway, it's in my chart that like sensitive men will be interested in me, and they're not. Imagine two of me. You don't want to date.
No,
you want god. Two of me in a room. Jesus Christ! I'm tired just talking about it. But of these like loving, generous men who are just like, "Love you, babe. What do you need?" Like. There's nothing unattractive about that, especially when they're like hot and can bone down. Because that's the thing too. We often as women, we go like, if a man is sensitive and soft and supportive and not super alpha, like we equate that with like somehow like with their sexual prowess, which is not correct.
No.
Boy, have I had a lot of experience discovering like, in fact, like the, sometimes the quietest, sensitivist ones are fucking tigers, because they don't, where else are they putting that except in the bedroom? I literally cannot see out of my
room. Oh my gosh. Just for the listeners, Katie is currently rubbing her eye vigorously and keeps trying to stop, and then her eyes close like a pirate. And
oh no.
Oh,
I think I'm okay, but
yeah,
it needs a minute.
Just yeah, let it rest, relax it, let it stay closed. Or just cover it with one hand.
Okay.
And we'll just talk. I mean, we could just go into the records and then you'd have to have your eyes closed anyway.
It does feel better.
If we do decide to go into the records today, I do have a question, and it's a me question, and it's a physical question.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But first we got to deal with your eye.
Yeah. I actually was going to ask you a favor. I have this assistant now, and she's off duty at 5, and we only have 15 minutes left, and she sent me like 6 questions. I don't respond to them before 5, I don't get the thing.
You don't get the thing. Do you want to pause and resume, or do you want to wrap up? Had a really good conversation so far, so I'm cool either way.
Maybe we just call it here.
Why don't you check that question? Can you check that question?
There's like 5 questions.
Oh, no. I mean, can you check the question? Should we just call it or pause and resume?
Oh, yeah. Let's call it.
Okay, great.
Save your question, though.
Yeah, well, hopefully we won't need it next week.
Oh, okay.
Which is great, which would be great. It'd be also fine. I've had major back issues for well over 3 weeks, and I'm tired of it, and I'm wondering if there's something deeper going on that's not just structural.
Question, have you been doing the journaling assignment, I want, I feel, I need?
Not persistently, but I will say that I did do it right away a few nights and was great. I even literally fell asleep in the middle of doing it one time. Like it worked in and of itself to sort of just drain out whatever I needed expressing and draining. Since then I stopped doing it. But then the other night I woke up in the middle of the night with a version of the panic, and I did it in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And it helped quite a bit. And I've also heard from somebody, just to say that whole, hey, when we do Cassidy episodes, it serves other people. Yeah. This person told me that when they did it, they needed that tool. Then they heard the episode and the tool was provided the day they needed it.
Heard this as well.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
I'm happy to hear that. But the reason I'm asking is because your back, oftentimes the back, and this reads like a yes. We push behind us what we don't want to face or process. So the first question that comes through me is like, what emotionally are you not processing that's getting shoved behind you into the back? And you might discover it just through that journal process.
I love it. Well, then we don't need to go to the records. I think you just gave me the answer.
Yay. All right.
All right. Well,
do my eye work.
Do your E work and your eye work, and I'll do my B work. My back.
Your butt.
My butt. I'm going to work my butt. Work your butt.
Inside the butthole or on the cheek?
Yep. Well, it's not an either or, Katie. Do your butt work.
Do your butt work.
Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
I will record. She yells at us.
She didn't used to. What happened?
It's fucking updates, man.
Yeah.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.